It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a wonderful day it is. Great to be with you in the house of the Lord. And you know, according to God's word, the house of the Lord is wherever Jesus is. And where two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there too. It's a wonderful thing to know that whether it's radio or television or actually in person, we can be with Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, a little child might ask, how is it possible for God to be in more than one place at the same time? Noting the fact that it seems that many churches have their worship services at the very exact same time across the United States and the world. How can God be in all of those places? Well, you have to understand God. And he's much greater than our imaginations can allow. And that's why I love the Lord. And he's able to perform the miracles that we can't even conceive of. Well, we're going to be starting a new series today. And it is a mighty series. Now, a little while back, I did an audio tape program called The Bible as Science and History. The Bible as Science and History. And I've decided that this was, well, first of all, I must admit, I'm very biased and prejudiced. This was fun for me. You know, to prove and give evidence that the Bible is not just some old moldy book of religious myth, as these crazies in some of the seminaries and the colleges say. No. The Bible is powerful. And I'm telling you, my friends, it is the most fabulous science. Yes, the scientific textbook of the ages. And it is a book of history. Over the eons, men have tried to disprove the Bible, and archaeologists have gone out with a specific objective of disproving the Old Testament, and they just can't do it. It just seems that the more archaeological evidence we find, I mean, we found Babylon, we found Jericho, we found everything, and I want to talk to you about that. It's so exciting. And I tell you, I just said I've got to replay this audio tape. We're going to break it up into a series of messages, and you're going to enjoy it. And I don't know how long it's going to last, 3 or 4 weeks perhaps. Each week during this time, we'll have a segment of it. And I hope you'll tune in each week here on Bible Home Church, because this sermon series will be so vital to you. You know, you may have a friend who says, you know, the Bible's okay and Christianity's okay, but, you know, modern science has disproved a lot of that stuff. Really? You'll be amazed. Did you know that in the Bible, I'm not going to tell you in the answer. You have to listen to the, you'll have to listen to the messages. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to give you a little bit. You'll find I'm going to quote the exact verse in this series. But did you know back in the old days when scientists were claiming that the earth was flat, the Bible declared 2,500 years ago. The Old Testament said it was a circle. And I remember the astronauts, they looked down upon the earth and they talked about the circle of the earth, and they could have been reading the Bible. You say you don't know where that is in the Bible? You've never heard of such a thing? Well, that's why this series is so powerful. You need the Bible as science and history. It'll mean so much to you then when you open up your Bible and you're reading. And you go to Genesis and you begin to read in the Old Testament, everything you read will have such an impact to you. You'll know those events really did occur. They actually happened. And there's scientific historical evidence. And I'll tell you, if you want evidence that's miraculous by itself, just the fact that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected himself. Wow. So many witnesses evidence that fact. Has there ever been such an incident in history? No, of course not. But it happened with Jesus. That's just one. Of course, there's so many others in the Bible. And I'm convinced, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, all of those miracles, the day the sun stood still, every one of them actually happened and can be scientifically proven and have been, many of them already. And in coming years, so many more will be as well. Well, that's the series. So stay with us. Now, we're going to have some beautiful music. It's what I call it because it is. I don't go for this jived up, you know, rap and rock and roll and all that stuff. If you want that, there are stations you can tune to, other religious people, and they'll give you all of that garbage. I mean, music, and you can enjoy that to your heart or your some other part of your anatomy's content. But if you want beautiful music, we look for it here and play it on this program. Maybe some of you don't like the exact style of music I do, but on the other hand, you can't deny that it's beautiful, even though you may not particularly like it. You know, some people like concertos by the great masters, and others like the old hymns. And I do, too. I love the old hymns. But these are beautiful pieces of music. I think God is still inspiring men and women today to write music, to perform. But the music has to speak about Jesus. The music has to have a message from the Holy Bible, even the King James Bible. And if it does, if it can impart a message, because you see, a song is not just a song. A song is meant to stir the human emotions. It's meant to, well, it's meant to do a little preaching. I like a song that preaches to you. Messages in song. Well, you know, the Gaithers have written many wonderful songs over the years. And they've been having get-togethers on television, and some of the old-timers, you know, especially the Southern Gospel Quartets and some of the great old singers, their hairs turn gray, and some of them even have died since the Gaither series began on TV. But it's such wonderful music. It's so inspiring, you know, that God is with many of these men. I'm not saying every one of them have perfect lives. How many do? But I do believe that God has inspired many of these men and women. And the Gaithers, Gloria and Bill, have brought them forth. And I do appreciate that. Here's from their album. You know, they put out a number of albums and videos now. Here's from the album Old Friends. And you know, that's what we are as Christians. We're just old friends. I meet so many people around this country. People come up to me and they say, you know, Tex, I've never met you. This is the first time to meet you personally. But I've been receiving your books and your newsletter. I've been listening to your radio program for so long. I feel like we're old friends. And I feel that way too. I just have an instant recognition. Isn't that odd? You've never met a man or a woman before, but you just want to hug their neck. They're just a brother and a sister in the Lord, and you just feel akin to them. Have you ever felt that? Now, maybe I'm different. I don't know. I don't think so. I feel that way. I don't know. Maybe it's just love I have for my fellow Christians. And it's a lot of fun, just to shake hands, to hug a Christian, and to be with Christians, and to have old friends. That's the name of this album, and they had a medley of hits. So you know, when we play it, and over the next several weeks, we're going to be playing this medley of hits. Sometimes it doesn't start right on the song. It may be a little bit off because you know how the medley people do. They'll play a little of a piece of one song and then they'll go right into another one. So we're going to catch some of their best songs. So if it seems a little disjointed, please bear with me. It's still going to be beautiful music. And so we begin with a beautiful song. I think you'll recognize it. And then after that, we'll begin with Volume 1, let's just say, or our first in our series, The Bible as Science and History. Again, you're listening to Tex Morse. By the way, now, before I go to this, so many of you like to write us. Please do. Please write to us. I love to hear from you. And, of course, we do need your love gifts and donations, your tithes and offerings into the ministry. We could not do it without you. You make this possible. If God calls you, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Would you please help us to continue this ministry? Now, if you can't afford it, okay, I'll understand that. Maybe you just want us to pray for you. You don't have to send any money for prayer. You can just write to me and say, Dear Tex, I need prayer. Maybe there's an illness in your family. Perhaps a loved one needs salvation. We promise you we will pray. I will read your letter. I read each and every letter, and they're really the delight of my day to read your letter. There again, I'm old friends. You're my friend. And you can be a member associated with this church. I don't care where you're at throughout the world. You can be part of Bible Home Church. And I'll read your letter, and hopefully I can write you back. You know, I get the volume of mail is so much. That's my greatest disappointment, not being able to answer each and every letter. I hope you're patient and understanding with me and don't kick me too much in your mental minds when I don't answer your letter. But know this, know that I've read it, and if you ask me to pray, I will pray for you. I promise you, by name, I will pray for you. And there's something supernatural and powerful about prayer. And I'm going to brag to you right now. God answers my prayers. He will answer my prayer. He hears my prayers. You say, well, now, Tex, that's pretty arrogant and boastful. Well, now, he'll answer yours, too. So you thought I was going to be exclusive, didn't you? No, he'll answer your prayers, too. But it's good to have an old friend to pray with you, isn't it? And I'll pray with you. Now, let's have that music.
Do that second verse. You'll have to start. I'm free from the guilt. I'm free from the guilt that I carried from a dull, empty life. I've been set free. Oh, when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be.
Not too long ago, I was on a talk show, and I was challenged about some things in the Bible. A man said to me, and by the way, he claimed to be a New Age pastor, a pastor of a New Age church in Houston, Texas. He said, I used to be a regular Christian pastor of a Methodist church. But I left the Methodist church when I found out that so much of the Bible was not true. And I asked him, right there on the radio, I said, can you give me just three examples of things that are not true? And he looked at me, and I guess he had to start digging in his mind. You see, that's an old saw. That's an old hat thing to come up with what I call the straw man. Has no substance at all. Just pure straw. No heart to it. No soul to it. He finally dug around and he found three things. And of course, God gave me the answer to those things. Not because I was a great Bible authority, but because they were such stupid things. They were easy to refute. But it began me on a little search looking at this subject. Can it be documented that the Bible is not only a book of truth and true religion, but can it be documented also that the Bible is a book of history and science? Well, of course, the theologians at the cemeteries, the seminaries, it really is cemeteries. But the theologians and Bible teachers, so-called, at the seminaries, they try to find every hole they can in the Bible. I don't know why they're in that position. Satan put them there in those seminaries. They don't believe there is a real Bible authoritative, 100% inerrant anyway. So why don't they just leave that job, go do something else, become a sports announcer, go dig ditches, whatever God would have them do. I know he doesn't want them there, though. They're in the wrong position, wrong field. Well, anyway, over my years in high tech and in history, I could see that there are so many astounding things about this globe that are proven in the Bible. I was recently reading a book by one of these cemetery professors, and he said, of course, the Bible has many wonderful fables and legends in it, but we should not take it as true history. Oh, yeah? Well, I beg to differ, Professor, because I'm going to be proving today that the Bible is true in science and history. In fact, this is one of the most fantastic scientific documents ever written by the greatest scientist imaginable, God. He created this whole earth. He knows all about DNA and mathematics. He knows science that people haven't even thought about. I mean, Einstein is just a rusty little beginner. I mean, he didn't know the math that God could spew out in 3 seconds. And of course, we don't know what a second is to God because he has his own time clock. Is time relative? You better believe it. To the absolute in heaven, God, he makes up his own time clocks. Well, God is so great. And I, you know, I decided, well, you know, I need to do a program telling people about all of my discoveries about the Bible being both science and history. We first start off with science. Now, friends, you'll want to get a pen and pencil and take notes, because I'm telling you, you're going to find out some astounding things that I'll bet you won't find in your local newspaper. Even your local pastor doesn't know these things. And it's taken me many years of research to really develop the knowledge that I have on the Bible as science and history. And I've used some other people's works, too. My good friend, Robert Fade, he's a nuclear engineer. He wrote a book called A Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries. A Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries. You know, I met with Robert, and we discussed that. And, well, we had such a wonderful time, his book and his work. And then he did another book, A Scientific Approach to More Biblical Mysteries. He said there were so many biblical mysteries that have been solved by science, or I should say science, scientific questions that have been solved by the Bible. Now, let me turn it around there. He says he had to do a second book just to put them all in. Well, I hope he does a third and a fourth book in this series, because those are fine books. There's Hawley's Bible Handbook, a great old book of the faith. There's Werner Keller's book, The Bible is History. Yes, there is a book by that title. You know, the archaeologists have been shocked. the paleontologists are in a total state of confusion. Biotechnologists cannot believe it. Historians are scratching their heads. Computer architecture people are saying, wow. Astronomers are saying, oh my goodness. Because of the new revelations in science that are proving the Bible. Let me give you just a few. First of all, let's go back in history a bit. Now, when you were a young child, a boy or a girl, you probably were taught that back in the days of Christopher Columbus, they said the earth was flat. Remember, they warned old Christopher, you take that boat out there, you take that ship, your little fleet of three little ships, they'll go off the end of the earth. You'll perish. But it is said that Columbus is the first to discover that the earth is round. Well, really? There were only a few theorists that said the earth was round in the days of Christopher Columbus. Now, folks, that was 1492. Well, the problem with the scientists of that stage and time was just like it is today. They didn't read the Bible. That's all they had to do to find out how the world was shaped and what it was really like in the days of Columbus and before. You see, about 1,000 years before Columbus was ever born, there was a man named Isaiah. He was a prophet of God. Let me tell you what he wrote. He wrote this of God. He was describing God. In Isaiah 40, verse 26, you'll find something astonishing. Now, 1,000 years before Columbus, here's what it says. It is he, in other words, it is God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things. He said, the inhabitants thereof of the earth, the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. He sits on the circle of the earth and looks down upon us. We have to lift our eyes on high to focus on God. And we're like grasshoppers, little bitty grasshoppers in his eyes. And the heavens stretch out as a curtain for God. He sits upon the, what again? The circle of the earth. You know, when the astronauts went into space, they looked down. They said, now we can see the circle of the earth. Oh, it's so incredible. It's so beautiful. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if one of those astronauts would have said, well, let me get out my Bible and read what Isaiah has to say. Now, that would have been awe-inspiring. 2,500 years before the first space flight by man, was recorded in the Bible, God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Now, here's another amazing scientific discovery. You know, it's only been this century that doctors and medical people, scientists, finally discovered that, you know, the life is in the blood of the body. You remember Louis Pasteur had a little problem. He says, well, disease are caused by germs, by bacteria. And they just scoffed and they laughed at him, almost ruined his career. I mean, this can't be. And then other scientists, of course, over the centuries have theorized that perhaps there were elements in the blood that caused diseases or healing. You know, they say George Washington may have lived a few years longer, the first president of the United States, but they bled him to death. You see, they believed that there was something in the blood, but they didn't know what, that was very vile and polluted. And so they would, when a man got sick, they would, you know, cut him and let him bleed a little bit. Sometimes that'd take a significant amount of blood. They say George Washington, he didn't get better, so they took out more blood. He didn't get better, they took out more blood. This poor man died. Probably from the lack of blood. They didn't know anything about blood transfusions back then, of course. Bloodletting. Well, if they had only known, they killed him because they didn't realize the life is in the blood. And they're just finding that out. Now they find that chemicals and hormones and all kind of maybe even unknown substances are surging through our blood vessels and capillaries at all times. Life-giving. Sources of replenishment for energy. Our body's being fed. If you cut off the blood to one part of the body, that part will die. It will get gangrene. It will get terribly sick. You'll have to cut it off. And if blood doesn't go to the brain, you will die. If the heart doesn't. And not only that, there are substances within the blood. Germs travel through the blood. They know that now. You get cancer cells in a woman's breast, it may travel through other parts of her body through the blood. You take an aspirin or you take an antibiotic, how does it get to your body? It travels through the blood. Isn't it interesting that God told his people these things a few thousand years ago before the medical doctors knew anything? And I'm not sure they know too much today. Leviticus 17, verse 14. The life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Think about that. Deuteronomy 12, 23. For the blood is the life. Hey, now that's science. Now that's medicine. And God did it. Oh, I tell you, friends, you get into this stuff and you can get pretty excited about what God tells medicine and science today.
This is Jerry Barrett. You've been listening to Bible Home Church and Pastor Tex Mars. We hope this program has been a blessing to you, and we invite you to tune in next week as Pastor Tex Mars continues his fascinating series, The Bible as Science and History.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.